Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And remaining, maybe it's also the remaining minutes, but the remaining minutes. I want to mention this case of Alice Monroe and say that, to my mind, the Canadian people were betrayed by our media and by our elites. The case of the against her, the husband of Alice Monroe, was a simple criminal, not pleasant, simple matter, legal matter. In 2005, he entered a courtroom, Jerry Freed Fremlin, and he pled guilty. Now, by the way, guilty pleas, you know, people can say, I'm not sure what that is. But in this case, what the authorities were in possession of were his letters describing the very abuse that he was being accused of, in which he rationalized that it wasn't a child, it was a person, a nine-year-old person, and that the nine-year-old had seduced him. That was pretty ugly stuff. Now, a courtroom in Ontario, he entered a guild, he is the husband of a famous author, and he pled guilty. He was sentenced to 2 years suspended sentence and told, of course, ordered. He could not be anywhere near, you know, public parks or children, and of course, the victim. And the media did not find or report the story. And of course, it later comes, eventually becomes a story. But we were betrayed, and if media wants to cry all the time about, oh, gee, the public don't listen to us, say they follow social media, they're looking at Twitter. Well, you know, if somebody with a Twitter account had walked into that courtroom and told what they saw, that would have been very helpful to the Canadian public to understand some ugly thing had happened. And yes, when people are famous, inevitably something should be said. But we had a protection racket where all the media failed us. The betrayal was in our system and the, frankly, an elite culture. And I have another problem with it. For years, I worked for Charles Roach, one of the great Canadian lawyers, and of course, well, with many others, but I would just tell you what he told me once. He said, when you have a case like this one, he was talking about a particularly ugly case to me, and we were both discussing the fact that a guilty plea had been arranged. He said, a judge does not have to accept a plea deal if the two parties come to the judge and say, okay, we got a deal here, which is what they had. According to the people present, one of the lawyers said it was done very fast. Comes into court, bang, bang, he goes home. He's on his own recognizance or whatever. Charles Roach said, if it's a serious matter, you have to hear some evidence. It should be tested because often people enter guilty pleas in order to cover for other people. They take the fall, as the expression is. It is not enlightening. And across my mind, that I want to know, did the judge ask Jerry Fremlin, you wrote these letters, is that right? Is this accurate? You wrote that she was a person and that she did, it was her fault, etc. Do you still believe that? If he said yes, I'd say, well, we're going to have a trial then. That's no deal. What the public wants to know, does he believe that? Is that, he wasn't just a guy who got caught doing something. He was a guy who had applied philosophy. He had studied English and philosophy, and he took himself to be one. And the flaw was in the system. And certainly it looks very bad on everybody, but it, the first place it looks bad is our so-called media, where people say, well, you know, we're the, they're the responsible ones. What they mean is that they're the gatekeepers. They will tell you who will be on the front page and who will be in the back page, small paragraph. And please remember that a judge doesn't have to accept a guilty plea. And he could be, a tough judge would say, let's talk about this. And particularly I want to know from this accused person, since we have this type of evidence. If you have that kind of thing, you have, it, on behalf of the people, somebody has to protect us. The reason that we have courts is it's our responsibility. And we can't have a healthy society if we don't have information. But if we have privileged people, then we're all in trouble. On the, I'll go back here to the closing out. I think we have a couple of minutes. I'll just mention on the thing about assassinations, and America is almost in love with itself now because they have the most. The most assassinations have never been properly reported either. The worst one has to be the murder, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, in which they've turned it into a little trauma that a famous actor, John Wilkes Booth, was so angry at the abolition of slavery that he killed Abraham Lincoln. But that is totally wrong. John Wilkes Booth was a member of the Confederate intelligence operation. And on the day that he shot Lincoln, at the exact same moment, a colleague of his broke into the home of the Secretary of State to assassinate him. Also on that evening, General Grant was due to be in the seat next to Lincoln. But Grant didn't like theater, so he didn't go to the theater. A fourth assassin was going to find the vice president. They were going to knock off the entire executive leadership, the core leadership of the Union. They weren't just going for Lincoln. They tried to get secretaries, they badly wounded the Secretary of State. They couldn't locate the vice president, and Grant wasn't within range. But it was not personal vendetta. Yes, it was personal in that Booth was a sick racist and a pro-slavery man, but so was half the country. He belonged to Confederate intelligence, and he made a run for it, which was organized. And every step of the way, he visited a safe house. All those safe houses were part of the Confederate intelligence operation, smuggling and whatnot to help the war effort of the slave states. But American mythology doesn't want to talk about that because they want unity, by the way. They always say, oh, we want to have unity. So the bigots and the racists get to be brought back into government, and that unresolved dirty issue has never been washed completely away. So I think it's kind of important to know that. And I would urge people to say, when somebody says, well, he's a lone wolf, I'd say, you don't know that. And by the way, your idea of a security operation is pathetic. So everybody has to be suspicious. It's okay to be suspicious. Just don't become overly excited about it. Well, I want to thank Pedro, and I want to tell you that 33-45-78 Steve Fruitman is coming up. And I think I've got it all. Good. I'm looking at a note that I can't read. So we'll see you next week.